Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preach this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
What a gift. So friends, it is Father's Day, which means we are celebrating not only our dads here in the room, happy Father's Day to all of the dads, but we are also celebrating one of the many ways that we know God. We know God not just as a father, but as a friend, a mother, a parent, a mother hen that gathers up her hens, a father that fights for us, a king, a lord, all of those different things. That's how we know God. But for us here at Shepherd's, man, it is pie and tea Sunday. I know in my household, Pie and Tea Sunday has been talked about since I came home and said it's going to be this Sunday, and it's been a couple weeks of being reminded that Pie and Tea Sunday is coming very soon. It was an early wake-up time today because Pie and Tea Sunday was today. And so why do we do pie and tea? Well, the origin story is last year I wanted to preach on the idea of piety. You know, piety, the spiritual discipline. And well, that sounds a little bit like pie and tea. That's it. Like, truly, like, it sounds like piety. And so I was like, what if we had pie and tea? And then last night we had Vacation Bible School kickoff. We had a bunch of pizza pies left over. And I was like, well, let's get rid of them somehow. And so here we are with some cold pizza as well, because that counts as a pie, friends. That counts as a pie. And we did those things for a deeper reason, not just because pie and tea are good, but also because we are a strange little church, a weird little church that does things different. When you come to church, we want to surprise and delight you when you come to worship. And even beyond that, we are slightly odd, a little different. Today's passage talks about all of the ways that God calls us to be just a little bit off, a little bit different, and all of the blessings that come along with that. The thing I'm going to say a lot today, the first thing you can put into your digital notes, if you download the Church Center app, we actually have an app that you can take notes in, and then you can have those notes forever. It's the best way to connect with us as well, is this. Happy are we who seek to live strange lives. Happy are we who seek to live strange lives. Our passage today is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. So if you've got a paper Bible, you can turn in that paper Bible. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. So it should be a little bit after halfway through. If you see Psalms, just keep going to the right. You'll also see it on the screen here. This is, I don't want to give away the surprise ending to this passage that I hope you've heard 1,000 times. But this is translation I am reading is the Common English Bible. So your Bible might say blessed. My translation says something a little bit different, but just hang in there, okay? Keep your eyes peeled. Here at Shepherd's, we have a tradition where after the reader says, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, all of you will say, thanks be to God. But we like to add a little extra oomph on the end. So we add the word woo. So be ready with your woo. Hear the word of the Lord. Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed, because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. And that's Jesus speaking. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey friends, it's Pastor Michael. We are just so grateful for every last one of you that listens to the It's Better When You're Here podcast. We are so excited that we get to share in this work of ministry and the messages that are preached every week at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church. We wanted to give you an opportunity. If you want to be a part of what God is doing here at Shepherds here in Central Florida, and you would like to give, you can go to shepherdsumc.com/give, and you can find a way to give that way. Any support really helps us produce this podcast, but also helps us love our neighborhood around the world very, very well. So thank you for tuning in, and now back to the podcast.
Very good. All right, friends. So in this passage, this is called the Beatitudes. Everyone say Beatitudes. Beatitudes, these are the greatest hits of Jesus, right? If you were going to buy, you know, an album for your dad who's a big Jesus fan, you would buy this one. It would be the Beatitudes. It would be cellophane wrapped, and you'd hand it to, for the younger people in the room, a CD is like an MP3. An MP3 is like a song that you stream, but you can only stream it. Anyways, this is the greatest hits. The Beatitudes are the grouping of blessings in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus would say again and again and again. If back then you were a follower of Jesus and you said, I'm a follower of Jesus, they would go, oh, is that the blessed are the poor guy? Yeah, I've heard that before. I saw it on a bumper sticker on a camel. I've seen that before. That's a really popular saying, the Beatitudes, the blessings. And your translation, I think it probably says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the humble or the meek. Blessed are the hopeless. Those that has been the word that people have used, but the Greek word there can be blessed or happy. And so that's why my translation that I'm using says happy. In this passage, Jesus is handing out blessings and reorienting our lives. He is handing out blessings and he is reorienting our lives. He's saying, blessed are these sorts of people. Blessed are these sorts of people. Blessed are these sorts of folks. And what I love about my translation is how weird it sounds. Happy are people who are hopeless. Yeah, when I think of people that are hopeless, I think, boy, they're having a great time. Happy are those who grieve, because they will be made glad. Tall are the short people, for they will play basketball, right? I mean, it's so odd. It's such a juxtaposition there, but that is what Jesus is doing. That's the point of this passage. It is to reorient our lives. So today, my hope is to go through all of these Beatitudes that we have here and sort of talk about how they apply to our lives, how these blessings now show up in 2026 as we are trying our best to be blessed and have the kingdom of heaven come and dwell among us. Not one of these blessings makes sense, and that is the point. Happy are we who seek to live strange lives. So the first one, happy are people who are hopeless. In Jesus's context, the hopeless meant so out of luck. There was no sort of emergency nutritional funding in Judea or Samaria. In Palestine, there was no way for someone who was poor to have any sort of assistance. You remember Jesus lived under Roman occupation, Roman oppression, and so there was no sort of social safety net for people. The social safety net was the people around you. And if you didn't have those people around you, you were hopeless. And so for Jesus to say that these people are happy, we can understand that even when we have no hope, we know that this is not the end. Even when we have no hope, we know that this is not the end. Jesus is telling us, yes, in this life, you may find a place where you have no hope, but there is always something at the end that goes beyond that. This is not the end. And this is not some sort of sunny side of life, hope, no Disney movie hope where everything works out in the end and everyone has a group hug as the credits roll. It's so much more than that. It is an oppositional hope. It is a hope that sees the way things are and knows this is not how this ends. It looks at the systems and structures in our world and in Jesus's world and sees how it makes it almost impossible to live a free and fulfilling life for some people, and knows that this is not the end, that the kingdom of heaven will come and Christ will reign and people will be free and the poor will be glad. That's the sort of hope. It's not the sort of hope that says, if I wish upon a star, maybe things will get better. But rather, as I work and organize in my community and love my neighborhood well and point people towards Jesus, things will change because I know that this is not the end, that the kingdom of heaven will come and dwell among us. Happy are we who seek to live strange lives. Happy are those who grieve because they will be made glad. I need to acknowledge, just like I did on Mother's Day, Father's Day is a day of grief for some people. Maybe like me, you've lost a really great dad. And maybe like others, you have not lost a dad that was not too good. And Father's Day is a day of grief for so many people. And so this passage, it's so important to see how Christ deals with grief. And it's the exact same way that I have experienced grief in my life. 17 years ago, my dad, my best friend, Emery LeBlanc, died. And it has broken my heart, and it continues to break my heart to this day. Choked up when I talked about it at chapel campus. 17 years. My dad would have been such a pain in the neck if he was alive today. I love him. I miss him. But I am so glad that Facebook wasn't around 17 years ago. I would have been like, Dad, they shut down the website. Don't look on the news. Just delete. In fact, give me your phone. Slam. He would have a lot of opinions that he'd made sure everyone knew, right? I try to convince him that, you know, that Friendster was the only social media still out there. You know, get an account there, Dad, please. And I miss him every day. I wanted to call him the other day because something was going on in my life. The thing about grief, friends, is it never goes away. Jesus here doesn't say, blessed are the grief, are those who grieve, because one day they'll get over it. No, he says they will be glad, which again, so weird. What a weird way to put it. Grief is a thing that never goes away, but it changes us. I was 20 years old when my dad died. I have found myself in this odd sort of fraternity and sorority where we have a chapter here at Shepherd's of people who lost good dads far too young. People that in their 20s, their 30s, even their 40s, they've lost their dad and it was a shattering in their life. And I have found that those are the people whose anniversaries I remember. Their dad's birthday or their dad's death day and or their mother's death day. And those are the people that I text sometimes and I say, hey, thinking of you today, anniversaries are really hard. And they're also the people that sometimes if I'm friends with them on Instagram, I send them memes that some of you would think was really weird and I find hilarious. That sort of dark humor that, man, you know, here's the thing. I don't have a dad, but what I do get are jokes that some of you can't laugh at, you know, and that's I really got to take the concession prize as I can, friends. I really have to. And that sort of fraternity and sorority, that connection, friends, I don't know how to tell you this. It has made me glad. I'd rather have him. But it's made me glad. Those who grieve will be made glad. Grief changes our capacity to feel and we will be made glad. My capacity to feel has grown exponentially. If your Father's Day is terrible for you and you're here in church, your capacity to feel has grown. You'll never get over it, but you have moved through it and you'll keep moving through it. And I'm proud of you. Happy are we who seek to live strange lives. Happy are people who are humble because they will inherit the earth. Oh, humility. We just don't have a lot of humility in our culture today, do we, friends? Especially men, I'm sorry, I know it's your special day or whatever, but there aren't a lot of humble men out in our culture today, friends. We really don't see it very much. I have seen a few famous men bragging about how they had never changed a diaper. There's a French word for men who don't change diapers, and it's losers. the reality that you could feel as if this human being you brought into the world is not a tush that you can wipe is, again, the French word, loser. You know, that's not humility. My kingdom for a humble man. I love Father's Day because I get to see people post pictures and stories of their good dads. Can I tell you the thread that is pulled through all of them is that those men are humble. Those men that are willing to listen and to care and to be humble and to serve rather than be served, those are the men that are remembered. There is nothing more countercultural today than a humble man, a man with humility. Not self-loathing, not self-deprecation, but rather a humble man. Happy are we who seek to live strange lives. So happy are those who pursue righteousness or mercy, because they will be full, or they will receive mercy. Jesus tells us here that as we pursue the hard things, we will be helped along. I'll confess to you, friends, I'm trying to reignite and reinvigorate my daily spiritual disciplines, and sometimes it is hard to do. I get the Praise You Go app going, and I listen to it, and I forget what I'm listening to, and all of a sudden I'm scrolling on Instagram, and I'm like, whoops, I'm supposed to be listening to God's word, not liking memes. Whoops. And I have to start over again. And then when I'm done, I think, I'm not really feeling as if my spiritual life was changed at all. I'll open up God's word, I'll read a passage, and I'll be like, I know what all those words mean by themselves. When you stack them all together, I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of Hezekiah 5. The joke there is that there is no Hezekiah. Anyways, let's move along. And sometimes it feels as if my spiritual disciplines are not worth disciplining. And this passage tells me that if I just try, God will help me along. That when I pursue righteousness, even if I don't do it well, God will show up in between and pull me along. Mercy. Pursuing mercy is not easy to do, especially in our culture. Not to just dunk on culture the entire time, but we live in a culture that doesn't like mercy. They like consequences, right? If you do something wrong, something wronger will happen to you. That's the culture that we live in. But Christ has called us to pursue mercy. You know what happens if you pursue mercy? People lie to you. People cheat you out of what you deserve. You pursue mercy instead of justice or being right, you're going to end up seeing people that have done something wrong feel okay about what they've done. Mercy is not easy to do. But our passage tells us that no journey towards mercy or righteousness is wasted. Our passage tells us that no journey towards mercy and justice is wasted. And happy are we who live strange lives. Purity and peace. Happy are those who pursue a pure heart or have a pure heart. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. How can we see God? Well, this passage here tells us that if we have a pure heart, if we're trying to purify this heart that we carry around, if we try to seek peace when war or conflict is the only option, we will see the face of God. In fact, we'll be called children of God. By pursuing growth, purity, and reconciliation, peace, we will know God. The world is desperate for peacemakers for the sake of the gospel. The world is desperate for peacemakers for the sake of the gospel. Happy are we who seek to live strange lives. Happy are those who are harassed for Christ's name. Now, I do need to say something. It's quite popular for some Christians to talk about all the persecution that American Christians have. And I just want to tell you, just as clear as I can, we face no persecution in this country. We don't. And I'm so grateful to live in this nation where we receive no persecution whatsoever. We have so much privilege. There hasn't been a president yet that hasn't said, at least said, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I feel represented on TV and in movies. Christmas, everyone gets the day off for my holidays. I'm so grateful that I get to live in a nation where my faith is respected and known and cared. But then it is important to understand that there are some times where you can still get harassed for your faith. And it's called social media. I don't know if you follow us on TikTok, but we post some videos sometimes of me preaching that some of this is going to get chopped up and put onto social media. And once you know it, whenever I talk about how women are human beings, that's bad somehow. And people on the internet need to tell me how wrong I am and how bad I am. And they tell me I'm going to go to hell. And they tell me that I'm sending other people to hell. And that is weird. And that is hard. And that's where we get harassed. Let me tell you that the best way to make sure you get harassed for your faith, do you understand what I'm saying here? Is to choose kindness and mercy and grace. If you want to be right, if you want to be strong, powerful, and quote in the original Greek, you probably won't get harassed. You'll be really boring. But if you love people well and out loud, you might suffer some harassment. But according to this passage, that's actually really good. When you live your faith out loud, people will notice. And when the meanest of the world come after you, you might be onto something. Yesterday, I went to Pride in the Park, down at Munn Park, yeah. And it was so hot, and then it rained just a little bit, so it got real steamy, and I wore this t-shirt. My friend Tyler and Amanda got me. And it says, "This pastor loves you." And I'm not a faith healer. I think that those gifts have gone away, and if you've got something that needs to be healed, I want you to go to a physician, and I'll pray with you while you go. But I saw a lot of people get healed yesterday just by wearing this t-shirt that hadn't been washed yet, and so I had like black fabric all over my arms. No, it's fine. No. I saw a lot of people look at me and just go, "Oh." And I saw a lot of people say, "Whoa, what? Me?" And I got to say, "I really do." And to mean it with my whole heart. Handed them a little note that said, "Hey, we worship here and here. It'd be better with you there." On the back, it said, "Y'all means all, and we really mean it." And I got to show people God's love in a real and powerful way. And then there were some people there. Those aren't their actual faces. And I don't know them, right? They have a specific condition that makes their face plastic. We're going to call them Joey and Bobby. That's not their names, because I didn't get their consent to take this picture. But they were being really mean, so they got their picture taken. They decided to go out and tell people that they were going to go to hell. They weren't really having conversations with people. They were just like going, "Hey, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell." You know, like selling hot dogs, but it was hell. And they were telling people, and they decided to go down Church Row. There were a bunch of churches there, and they decided to go down and just pick fights. And all the other churches were smart and didn't talk to them. And I was like, "Absolutely, sure. I'll have a conversation with you. Come on. Let's have a conversation." And so they came over, and I was like, "Hey, what's your name?" And they're like, "You're going to hell." And I was like, "That's a weird name." I tried to give them a sticker. We had little Jesus stickers and little bracelets, and "We don't take those." And I was like, "They're stickers, but okay." Bubbles. They didn't want bubbles. And we had a conversation. And the realization that I had was that yesterday I woke up, had a nice cup of coffee, hung out with my kid, hung out with my wife. And then I went down to a park, hung out with my friends, talked about life and said hi to people and had a big smile on my face. My face hurt. I was smiling so much. And these two guys, they got up and they're like, "I want to go to a park where people I don't know are having fun. And I want to tell them that they're going to hell." And that's really sad. It's really lonely. And my heart broke for them. So I had a conversation with them. They didn't know that I was raised fundamentalist and I could quote in the King James and I knew the Greek actually, and we could have some meaningful conversations. And then I invited one of them to get coffee with me, and I told him my phone number. It was the church's phone number. And told him, "Hey, you name the time and the place and coffee is on me. And I hope that Joey," pray for Joey, he's the guy on the left, "takes me up on that. Because I do love him too. And I love him not out of spite. I don't love him because I'm right and he's wrong. I love him because Christ loved me." Can I tell y'all something really important? No, I'll tell you that in a minute. So after this conversation, I'm having this conversation, and someone comes up to me, and they hand me a bookmark. I'm like, "I don't really need a bookmark, but thank you." And it was a sign of, like, support. And I look, and she's got, they have tattoos on their arms, and one of them is an upside-down cross. Now that is like a symbol of atheism. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it's a symbol of saying not only I'm not religious, but I think that other people shouldn't be religious either. And they were so kind to me to show me that moment. And I found them afterwards. I said, thank you so much for your support. You know, they were having a hard time. They must be so lonely. And they said, yeah, well, I'm glad you stuck it to them. I was like, well, no, I was really just trying to have a little conversation with them because if it wasn't for the patience of other people that loved me well, this is what I would do with my Saturday too. I was a race fundamentalist. I knew that other people had to know and believe exactly like I did or they would go to hell. I knew that that's what I had to do. And I saw on their face a transformation, a moment that they too felt mercy. Something that Joey and Bobby told me was that whenever they talk to other people, especially other churches, they feel as if they aren't very nice to them. Now, to be fair, if you're super mean to people and you're like, why is everyone so mean to me? It's like, but I got to be nice to them. I'm not a hero, friends. Please hear that. It's just that I'm happy. It's just that I'm blessed. Y'all hear that? I am blessed by God. I am blessed, like all of us here, we are happy because Christ has shown up in our lives there, but for the grace of God, go I. It is God's grace that made it possible. Happy are we who seek to live strange lives. So our odd life together, in the coming weeks, you're going to hear more about how we're going to stop doing life only together in rows. And we're going to start doing that more in circles. Not just are we going to have Bible studies and group studies and book studies and all of those wonderful things and go to coffee shops with Bobby and or Joey or whatever, but we're also going to show up for each other and have life together as some of us are already doing. Because as our community becomes more odd, more strange, more out there, more willing to live odd, strange lives, we will become happier, we'll become more blessed, and more people will want to find us. Y'all, I handed out 700 flyers yesterday and told people, yeah, we can give it up for flyers. Yeah, absolutely. Canva, thank you. I handed them out and I let people know, hey, it'd be so much better with you here. Someone's going to find that flyer and take us up on it and make sure that we know that it is better that they're here. And we must be people who are odd enough to welcome everyone to make sure that they know that we are happy to see them. Not just tolerating, but happy to see them. And some of you in this space, I know, might be feeling, you know, I probably wouldn't have felt, you know, comfortable at Pride in the Park. I just want you to know that that's okay too. Like, even if you're not at a place where, you know, Pride in the Park is a place you want to be, you're also welcome here as well. There are some churches that might have been at Pride in the Park and they would say, well, you can go to a Baptist church down the street. I want you here. I'm not trying to change your mind, but because we need you too. We need your love, we need your care, we need your prayers, we need your faithful witness. Happy are we who seek to live strange lives. All right, I've got two action points for you this Sunday, the way that you can put this sermon into action. Don't just hear it, but do something about it. I want you to find one weird thing in this passage, and I want you to do it this week and be weird in that way. I want you to find a way to be humble, to be a peacemaker, to pursue a pure heart, to find someone in grief and help them be glad, not help them get over, but help them be glad. I want you to find one thing in this passage, and I want you to do that this week. And then, when someone catches you being weird, I want you to blame it on Jesus. I want you to blame your weird on Jesus. A friend of mine also stood with me and had a talk with Joey and Bobby. And in that conversation, when that conversation was over, the only one who got blamed for that work was Jesus. As we see our lives transformed and changed, our neighborhood will be changed and transformed if we are willing to point towards heaven when someone asks us why we are the way that we are. Point at our hearts and tell the story of how we have been transformed. It is not our character, it is not just how goody-goody we are, but rather the grace of God that has found us where we are and pulled us along and changed us. And happy, happy are we who seek to live strange lives. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.